Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the Yanks Go Yard podcast with Adam Weinrib and Thomas Carinante.
Welcome on into the Yanks Go Yard podcast. I'm Adam Weinrib alongside Thomas Carinante. Just like the intro said, if you're not used to that by now, get used to it because we're going to be here every Monday, Thursday, 2 o'clock Eastern, recapping the Yankees baseball we saw, addressing the storylines. And what a juicy weekend in Milwaukee, heading into the first Yankees-Orioles clash of the year. Hate to be breaking this news to you if you haven't heard. We've lost Alex Verdugo, at least for tonight's game. He's on the paternity list, having a kid, so won't have him for the O's game to start the series. Not sure how long that'll last. But either way, the lineup tweak that Aaron Boone, or whoever crafts the lineups, could be Aaron Boone, could be above him, made putting Verdugo in the cleanup spot resulted in 15 runs Saturday, 15 runs Sunday, and a good chunk of runs on Friday too. But that was a game that a lot of people were annoyed about, and rightly so. This series in Milwaukee had everything. In-game management controversy, in-game Aaron Judge behavior controversy, Judge waking up, the whole lineup waking up, Rizzo waking up, Anthony Volpe got in on the action on his birthday. Gleyber Torres had a bases-clearing double. Lots to like, obviously. Not going to forget about Carlos Rodon. How could you? But you get this weird game to kick off the series that has every Yankee fan on their absolute worst behavior. And the way that the series ended, it actually almost made me angrier than if the series had gone off the rails and they'd gotten swept. We'll talk about all that in a little bit. You can't give games away, but also apparently you can, because then you can just come back and score 15 runs back-to-back days and have position players pitching. Jake Bowers, Jose Trevino, Owen Miller throwing 58-mile-an-hour knuckleballs. All in all, this series legitimately had everything we could talk about until the cows come home, but luckily we won't be. No cows in sight. We're just going to be talking about it for a while. Not going to wait till we see any cows in suburban New Jersey. Thomas Carinante, welcome to the podcast. First off, hit us with an ad read. Second, man, we got just so much good shit on this show.
So much. What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in. DraftKings is here once again at the top of the show, trying to get you involved. They're offering a fantastic sign-up bonus for new users. New customers can place a $5 first bet on any sport to instantly claim $200 in bonus bets. And all you got to do is sign up with our code, Yanks Go Yard, name of the site, name of the podcast. You'll also receive one no-sweat single-game parlay every single day after you sign up with this promo code. The best part is that you'll get rewards even if your first bet loses. You get all of it. Doesn't matter what the outcome of the bet is. Pretty good stuff. Using that code YanksGoYard not only gets you these bonuses, but it directly supports our podcast, YanksGoYard.com. Your boys Adam and Thomas. Let's have some fun. So if you're considering signing up for DraftKings, or you know somebody else who wants to get involved and is a first-time new user, make sure to use that code YanksGoYard to maximize those first bets and get everybody in on the action. This offer is, again, only available to new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode descriptions for full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. Spoiler alert, you probably do. Anyway, what a time. What a time to be alive. Yeah, it was funny. Friday, I turned it off when the Brewers tied it because I knew they were going to tie it. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm not doing this bullshit late at night because I had to golf the next morning. And then I woke up at 4 and I checked the score and I said, yeah, that's exactly what was going to happen. And then we're gifted with 30 runs. And like you said, there's a lot to parse through here.
Friday, an all-timer, because, you know, you're celebrating the run they scored to take the lead in extras. I think we should do happy before sad, but obviously I'll be a little angry to start. You're celebrating the run they score in extras. And I'm, you know, I'm in the,
why are we celebrating it though?
Well, you know, you like taking a lead and then,
no, exactly. You get, not only do they score in extras, which they never do, but they get another runner on second with no outs.
Yeah.
So you say, well, you know what?
Yeah.
This could be pretty good.
But as soon as they don't score that guy, you know, it's a dud. But I was away from the TV at that point, and I was just crossing my fingers, holding out hope. And I get the notification that Michael Tonkin is in, and I go, well, that's it. There's, I mean, you don't even have to think about like, oh, well, they, maybe the matchup, you could maybe, you know, survive, get a pop out, weak contact swing. No, they're not going to win this game. Michael Tonkin is in. They're not going to get this done. So we'll yell about that in a little bit, all worth it. But I feel like we should probably start with the Aaron Judge slide from yesterday. Before we get in all our questions, moments you were happiest, angriest, et cetera, because the Judge slide is just the ultimate blown out of proportion moment of this series and beyond. Brewers fans are – it's always nice to uncover a new fan base that sucks.
Yeah.
And we learn that Brewers fans have that specific – it's almost like that Cleveland indignity too. That thing of like, you might not know us, but you should. We move the runners over. We hit singles or whatever, just bragging about not being as good as teams with more power. The Brewers did that this weekend where so did Aaron Judge raise his hand as he slid into second base to try to bust up a double play in the middle of yesterday's game after the Yankees had blown a 4-0 lead? Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. He attempted to distract Willy Adames throwing the ball to first on a double play ball by raising his arm in the air. Has Aaron Judge done that before? Yes. Every time he has ever slid into second base. And presumably a coach at some point when they realized that Aaron Judge was 6'7" said, hey, you know what you should do when you slide into second base and break up a double play? Put your hand in the air because you're really tall. It might distract somebody. He's been doing this for years. Thomas Carinante, is it illegal to try to distract the defense from completing their task? Is that illegal?
No. I'm pretty sure people don't slide, so the shortstop or second baseman don't throw the ball in fear of hitting the runner.
I don't think it's illegal. And so you run into
it's obviously not illegal.
All of these Brewers fans claiming I feel like I've never seen discourse like this in my life, where Brewers fans are going, hey, whether he does it on every slide or not, it's meant to obstruct the throw. Yes, you're not supposed to roll out the red carpet for the double play to be turned. He's not going out of the baseline. He's not jumping in the air. He's raising his very tall arms to try to throw off the shortstop's throw slightly. And you know what? It wouldn't have been a problem if he hadn't drilled Judge in the hand. The throw wasn't good. The throw was too low. It hit Aaron Judge in the hand. And now that that's happened once, umpires are going to take that move away from Aaron Judge moving forward. In the aftermath, the umpire said, we made the wrong call. We thought it was a natural part of his slide. It was actually unnatural. No, the umpire was wrong after the game when he corrected himself. It was completely natural. He does it all the time. Now you're not going to let him, and that's okay. Brewers fans asking for some karmic pushback. That's the karmic pushback. You decided to identify something that Judge has been doing forever, and you've turned it into something that now is illegal for him to do. And now in the future, at another moment in time, when Aaron Judge does it again, an umpire will say, okay, now we flag this, we're calling it, instead of allowing him to do it for the rest of his career because there's nothing wrong with it. How much did it kill Pat Murphy, the Brewers manager, to come out and be like, you know what? It looked like Judge was doing something to obstruct the throw. He was getting in the way. Pat Murphy, like a 68-year-old chain smoker, who, if he had his druthers, would send the Brewers guys in there to bust up the double play by full-on gang tackling the shortstop, which they used to do, by the way. Should you still be allowed to pick up the shortstop and punt him to break up a double play? No, I think it's good that we legislated that out of the game. But Judge can't lift his arm in the air. That's now a crime. Okay, great. Yeah. And to put a lid on it, Aaron Judge does that, breaks up double play, right? They're two. Technically, all these runs score with two outs, I understand. You know what's another helpful way to prevent seven runs from scoring with two outs? Pitch better. Don't allow seven two-out runs. Don't allow four more in the innings that follow. Don't allow 15 runs in back-to-back days. I would love to hear from someone in Milwaukee what the devastating cause of that 30-run outburst was. Was it all the Judge slide? Did it pre-cause all the runs from the day before? Like, was that – did Aaron Judge raise his arms in the air in the locker room and convince Aaron Boone to move Alex Verdugo to the cleanup spot? Like, I wonder how far back it goes. How much can you blame on Aaron Judge's hand getting nicked by a Willy Adames throw that was too low?
We would be disingenuous if we said that that had nothing to do with the momentum shift.
Of course.
And we're not going to say that. But Brewers fans, Pat Murphy, Brewers pitching staff, you guys melted down and collapsed. I think if the roles were reversed, you and I would have a great time bitching about why this wasn't called interference, because we would do that. And then we would say, also, our team is pathetic because they gave up 7 2-out runs against all of the coldest hitters in the opposing team's lineup.
Yeah.
Coming into this series, nobody was colder than Gleyber Torres, than Oswaldo Cabrera, than Anthony Volpe, than Anthony Rizzo was going in and out of, you know, being a competent hitter. The only good hitters that got – the only hitters that were actually on track who had notched – hits against the Brewers during this rally were Jose Trevino and Juan Soto. So in any scenario where there are two outs, yes, Giancarlo Stanton's pop-up in theory should have ended the inning and it should have been 1-2-3. But if you have a halfway decent, competent bullpen, which I think the Brewers do, isn't that their calling card, you should get one of the bad hitters out, especially pinning them down on two strikes on multiple occasions. But you didn't. Secondly, I don't know what – The Pat Murphy, the comments were funny. It's just because, like, this guy looks like he chews nails for lunch.
Yep.
And he's calling Judge, like, you know, saying he was intentionally doing this, which may Judge's whole tactic might be to purposely, yeah, distract the guy from making a throw. And if he hasn't been told otherwise, again, he's been doing it. There's a video compilation of him doing this for, I think, years, or at least dating back to the beginning of last year. So if he hasn't been told to not do it, then that's the umpire's fault. Secondly, Pat Murphy's comment was like, I'm sure he's a nice kid, but look to me, he was trying to intentionally interfere, as if like Aaron Judge just committed a crime and was like, wrong place, wrong time. And he's like, you know what? Sure, he's a nice kid, but these transgressions, he's going to have to be penalized for them. So we're going to have to figure this out. Nice guy, Aaron Judge, swatting the ball down. Willy Adames, too, like, this changed the entire game. Yeah, it changed the entire game. Now that you go look back on it, now that you say, oh my God, that inning allowed seven runs. Yeah, no shit, it changed the game if that's the way you're going to look at it. What actually changed the game, though, is you not being able to execute, you allowing 30 runs across 2 days, you allowing an additional 4 runs after this inning. So it is what it is. Aaron Judge's slide, definitely something we need to talk about, definitely something we need to address, definitely something that probably needs to be maybe fixed or modified if people have a problem with this. Again, I've never seen this be an issue before until yesterday, and now that it's causing this much of an uproar and Brewers fans are acting as if like that was the reason they lost this series, it was certainly something that shifted things. But again, the Yankees offense finally showed up against a bad pitching staff. Joe Ross hasn't pitched in Major League Baseball in over 2 years until this weekend. The guy yesterday was good. Tyson, what's his name? Not Tyson. Is it Tyson?
Man, I mean, he's not even listed on the Brewers rotation depth chart as a starter.
He looks good, but
yeah. Tobias Myers.
Combine them. Tobias Myers, like, again, don't know who he is. Most baseball fans don't know who he is, so that's probably more of your problem. And again, your lineup depth, like, just Brewers aren't that great. They're not – the offensive calling card is not their thing. So if you wanted to go into a slugfest with the Yankees, that wasn't the way to do it. So I would say the game planning here was probably a little bit of a mistake. Aaron Judge's slide, though, certainly was not the reason that you are not that good.
No, and acting like umpiring mistakes never even out, too. Like,
yeah, that, of course.
Milwaukee, like, I gotta sit you guys down and let you know, like, you had an I wouldn't even call this an umpiring mistake, but let's, at face value, let's say, hey, umpire gaff, and he let one slide and he shouldn't have. Let's take the umpire at face value. He said after the game, I made a mistake. Fine. You're going to get one at some point.
Of course.
You are not going to get all 162 games and look up at the clock and the calendar and go, oh my God, the umpires were 100% against us all year. They never benefited us once. No, you're going to get one. I promise you. And the Yankees are going to get one in the other direction as well, especially because they better tell Aaron Judge now that he can't do this.
Yeah.
Because he's going to keep doing this. Somebody better come and tell him, hey, by the way, that swim move's out. You can't raise your arms anymore. Because otherwise he's for sure going to, because it is normal.
But then what's going to be the slide rules then? If you can't even do, like, I'm not saying that shouldn't be banned, but like, we've now stripped down sliding to nothing. Yeah. And then fielders can't come in the base path to make it, like, it's becoming weird and it's going to make it complicated. Like, I feel like people are not going to know what to do on the base paths now. I will side with Brewer fans on one thing. I don't understand why this is not reviewable. Why can't anybody review if there is a belief there was interference? That doesn't make any sense. Otherwise, though,
everything reviewable.
What?
Why isn't everything reviewable?
I know why. Yeah, exactly. You have challenges. You should be able to challenge them. We already have the loophole in challenges where you can challenge. You can use one challenge and challenge multiple things. And if you get one out of whatever right, you still get to keep your challenge. So, like, that's not a weird loophole that we haven't figured out yet. And we can't review interferences. Either way, that's the only bone you're going to get from me. It should be reviewable. But otherwise, everything else is your fault. You allowed a two-hit. You allow Gleyber Torres, who's been one of the coldest and worst hitters maybe in the league, to get a two-out, you know, two-strike hit to give the Yankees the lead. And then let absolute chaos ensue after that. So the rest is not my problem.
Once upon a time, yesterday was a game where the Yankees handed Marcus Stroman a 4-0 lead and he blew it in a matter of seconds.
Jake Bowers.
On a Jake Bowers through and home run. That was yesterday's game. You took all the momentum back. And so all you had to do was get the third out and you would have had all the momentum in the world. You would have won the series. You'd be crowing today. But instead, absolute hit parade, wild pitch, and you let an injured Ian Hamilton, who was generally sore, come and get you when you tried to make a little comeback the next inning. So let's go break it down. Also, if you can review everything, by the way, bringing in Michael Tonkin should be a reviewable play. You should be allowed to review that. If you bring in Michael Tonkin to pitch relief, the opposing manager should be able to say, whoa, that guy sucks. You shouldn't be allowed to make a call. Pat Murphy should be able to be like, whoa, Michael Tonkin, are you sure? Is that a real, are they actually trying to do that? I got to review that. Let's talk about the series. The moment you were the happiest. I mean, Aaron Judge's first home run, the like 400-foot dead center shot, and then his entire Sunday. I think his demise was a little bit premature because it's not like he looked any better in the first game. Right? That'll get forgotten. He was awful. Most of the discussion about Judge's hurt, he should sit, was like Friday night into Saturday. It's not like that was just previous series. He was awful in that opener. He regressed again. One of those Red Sox aggregator Twitter accounts I saw tweeted like, why is no one talking about this? It was like Aaron Judge hitting 170. He's like, everyone is talking about it, brother. The whole world. Yeah. But Judge had an unbelievable Saturday, Sunday. And maybe he had the surgery between Friday and Saturday, for all of those of you fans of asking Aaron Judge to have elective surgery, maybe he had it overnight Friday.
The toe abdominal combo.
Yeah, maybe he got that toe after. Maybe they took an ab ligament, the troublesome ab ligament, put it in that toe, fixed everything. But for those of you who wanted him to have the surgery, or who wanted to be like, I just don't think he's got it anymore. Like, he regressed so fast, constant toe management. Like, somebody was trying to tell me the other day that it probably hurts more now than it did after he suffered the injury. I mean, that defies logic and reason, but everybody slides. Everybody starts defying logic and reason when your best player and MVP candidate year over year just suddenly can't hit, can't recognize the breaking ball outside and isn't making contact as hard, whatnot. He proved on Saturday and Sunday he can still do it. So a moment I'm happiest overall, and it's tough because it's a, you know, 15 back-to-back 15 run romps. I'm still thinking about Aaron Judge above all the other people, but shout out to Gleyber Torres for having 60% of his RBI on the season on one swing on Saturday, as of Saturday. That was crazy, clearing the bases.
Yeah, I've been a real ass. I mean, I haven't been an ass. I've just been critical of guys who have not been performing, and two of those guys have been Anthony Rizzo and Gleyber Torres. So I have to give them props for turning it around. I love seeing them do stuff, and I want it to happen more, but when they're looking like they don't belong. Something needs to be said. Nonetheless, huge series for the both of them. That did not make me the happiest, though. Alex Verdugo's three-run homer made me the happiest. Why? Because Aaron Boone has been reluctant to change this lineup in a significant manner outside of the Volpe switch, which we have discussed a lot, and I think there's validity to both sides of the argument. But he was on Talking Yanks last week, and he was pressed about potentially moving Volpe out of the leadoff spot because his stats have cratered ever since, and he's been chasing more balls out of the zone, and he's not catching up the fastballs like he's been. And Aaron Boone was like, yeah, we're not going to make changes like that just because someone's not playing well. And he's like, yeah. And John Boy was like, yeah, but you literally did that for Gleyber Torres. You said he was pressing too much in the leadoff spot after 10 games and or 8 games and took him out. So, like, that's a valid question for Volpe. Then he moves Verdugo into the cleanup spot. Alex Verdugo is not a cleanup hitter. He is simply not. He is, I think he's at best a leadoff hitter and then mostly a lineup lengthener, anywhere between holes 6 through 9. You could probably put him and he'd be great for your team. But he's a guy who rises to the occasion, which is what this team kind of lacks and has lacked for a while. He gets the barrel on that ball. Puts the Yankees up 3-0 really quickly. Then Gleyber follows suit with that 3-run double. It's 6-1. Game's over. Felt like the game was over. So when the Yankees offense starts off like that, when there's been a noticeable switch in the lineup, it's really encouraging because this team really doesn't switch up the lineup. The only time they switch up the lineup is with rest days. Blindside you with weird rest days when it feels like, why is this guy out? He's been hot. Or why is this guy not sitting? He's been cold. Now, Aaron Boone, I don't know if he's got it right for the long haul, but guess what? Part of the managerial job is putting guys in the right position when they're hitting well, and this was the right call. I was very happy.
I would fully agree with that. And I any sign of progress from Anthony Volpe, too, like I don't want to impugn Aaron Boone for the leadoff move. I was pretty ready to move him back, especially when he went 0-4 to start this series. I'm back to just confirm. I mean, look, I'm watching every game, but I'm just confirming in the box score after the game. Up, nothing again. Empty again. Okay. The home run he hit yesterday was a return to the approach that had worked so well previously and worked really well during the Oakland series, too. So it's now two straight series of like a cautiously optimistic on Volpe as well. Can't say he's back to form. But, you know, now his last 7 games, he's 8-for-30 with a homer, 3 walks, 8 Ks. A little bit better, a little bit brighter. 2 walks and a big home run yesterday. And that's against the Milwaukee Brewers, not the Oakland A's. Although everybody who was like, the A's, how can the Yankees do this? How can the Yankees split a home series with the A's? Like, we wanted to win the series too. But we kept telling you, hey, there's a couple of young pieces in that lineup. Hey, the bullpen's actually like really good. Hey, they've got 2 great starters. Go ahead and take 2 out of 3 from the Orioles.
Where's everybody making fun of the Orioles?
Where is everybody making fun of the Orioles?
It's too anti-hipster. You can't make fun of the Orioles for losing a series against the A's. Orioles are cool and young. You can't make fun of them. Make fun of the Yankees for splitting a series.
Craig Kimbrell was hurt. It's not even real. How dare you? How dare you judge that series at all?
How dare you?
Because Craig Kimbrell was hurt doesn't even count. I mean, look, the Yankees lost the fourth game of that series. That the Yankees lost to the A's was one of the worst games the Yankees have played in 10 years. Clogging the bases against Alex Wood and his 7.5 ERA, consistently grounding into double plays with the bases loaded and 1 out. That game was awful, but they split a series against Oakland, against an Oakland team, and they took one off Paul Blackburn, who's been an all-star level starter this year. The Orioles welcomed the A's in and dropped 2 out of 3. To that same Oakland team. That same Oakland team that's been a 500 team against the non-Cleveland Guardians part of Major League Baseball. The Guardians are like 6-0 against Oakland or maybe 6-1. The A's are 500 against everybody else. They've been okay. And now we got 4 against the Orioles, and I'm not exactly confident, but I'm much happier now. Now that they've already won 2 out of 3 against Milwaukee, like I thought there was a chance at an 0-7 road trip. Especially after that Orioles game.
Yeah, you're right. Guardians are 6-0 against them. Holy shit.
Yeah. Especially after the 4th A's game, I was like, all right, we might actually be in the midst of it. I was joining the Twitter mob, the like, all right, losing streak starts now. And then like the team wins one game and then that person doesn't tweet again. And then they lose one more game and they're like, okay, actually it starts now. Like I was joining those people briefly. I was like, I don't know if they're going to win a game on this road trip after, again, the opener of the Brewers series, too. I was like, all right, well, I mean, they gave that game away, so what are we supposed to do here? And so the moment I was angriest, I mean, this is obvious. The obvious one, this is where we talk about Michael Tonkin, I think. The real moment I was angriest that differentiates, there's a winner here. My secondary moment, Jose Trevino pitching, even with a 15-1 lead, I just don't like it. I'm sorry. I'll never like it. Why? Like I understand that you don't want to, the Yankees bullpen is beleaguered. I understand that. And you don't want to use somebody in a game that is officially over. And I'm glad Jose Trevino escaped that without too much damage. But any opportunity, like, you just got to close the door. It's 15-1. The Brewers are downtrodden. They don't need to see. You know how people say don't foul a shooter who's struggling in the NBA playoffs? Like, don't let him see the ball go through the basket. Don't let the Brewers down 15-1 hit off a catcher throwing 58-mile-an-hour fastballs.
I guess.
Because that smelled like a game where it's 15-1, it ends 15-7, and then the next day the Brewers come out and jump them. That didn't happen. The Yankees win the Sunday game. It's all fine.
But I can't think like that. I'll die if I think like that.
I
needed like the bullpen to be saved.
I know. I get it. And look, it was. But that's one of those games where I just don't want to see the Brewers like circling the bases. Okay. And let's say that could have easily been like 15-6 with no outs. Jose Trevino is not a pitcher. Like, it could have easily been awful. But
should have kept IKF.
Like, you would have had to bring in, like, the worst would have been if you had to bring in an actual, like, okay, Victor Gonzalez, go clean up, bases loaded, no outs, 15-6 now. They still would have won, but I didn't enjoy that. But my real answer is, of course, the Michael Tonkin situation. But I'm going to toss it to you for your angriest moment before we talk about the elephant of bullshit in the room.
I am surprised that's your moment because I thought it would be Joey Ortiz, even though that'll be part of the conversation. But the fucking Jake Bowers home run, I'm just like, give – at this point, I need a break. I need one break with former Yankees doing this shit. It is constantly – infuriating. It happens every single series. We didn't call this one. We called Joey Ortiz right before we signed off last Thursday. But Jake Bowers, he got 50% of his home runs and 25% of his RBIs in one swing of the bat against the Yankees. He's played in 18 games this year. Just give me a fucking break. I understand it didn't end up amounting to anything because the Yankees ended up scoring 15 runs and won that game by 10 or whatever, but that was almost a backbreaking home run. Marcus Stroman was dancing around a lot of Brewers hitters, which is, I think, is something we should probably talk about too. He's not attacking enough hitters. He's not attacking enough inferior hitters. And it's increasing his pitch count. He's getting tired as the game goes on. And then he makes one mistake and Jake Bowers puts it over the fence for a game altering home run that essentially cancels out Anthony Volpe's 3-run homer that shifted the tides after the Brewers were threatening in the previous innings and they couldn't get runners across. I yelled when he hit that homer. It was the angry. I didn't get to see the Joey Ortiz because I went to bed. But that moment I was fully invested in us losing that game because of Jake Bowers' home run.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yankees just can't get Ortiz's out. They're going to be haunted by Ortiz's for the rest of our lives. Joey Ortiz, a glove first, limited bat prospect who Milwaukee chose over. Milwaukee said, hey, you want Corbin Burns? Give us Spencer Jones. Yankees said, that is laughable for a rental. Absolutely not. There is no reason we should have to do that for somebody who's going to command a $300 million contract after this year. We will literally never do that. And they said, okay, great. We'll move on to Baltimore's offer of a glove first infielder and a lefty reliever who we're going to make a starter who, how did he do this weekend? Didn't even see him. Already on the injured list.
Yep.
Joey Ortiz hitting .220 entering this series. And I said at the end of the last show, he's going to hit his first home run in this series. Guess what? First at bat. Bomb. First game, ties it with a sac fly. First game, walks us off with a single. Unfathomably predictable.
Got an even better stat for you at some point.
Yeah. Yesterday with all the walks too.
Yeah. That 33% of his walks this season came in one fucking game against us.
Yeah. Well, it's unbelievable. We got out of the series with a win anyway. I'm here to talk about Michael Tonkin, my friend who, it was helpful to know after the game that Ian Hamilton was generally sore, general soreness. So it made more sense, right? Sadly, I can get on board. I understand why that wasn't the guy that you used. But Victor Gonzalez was used in a tie game by Brad Ausmus, technically, not by Aaron Boone, against Oakland. Yes. And Zach Gelof tagged him in the home run. Victor Gonzalez was used in a save situation against the Rays, and he got it done with that diving play. Victor Gonzalez is a major league reliever, and he's not like the dream choice of mine to pitch the 10th inning with a one-run lead. And this is also we're going to tell the Brewers to, hey, like you gave up seven runs. Ooh. So stop crying about the Aaron Judge thing. I'm going to tell Yankee fans too, hey, you have Stanton on second with nobody out and a run already in. Score him. Manufacture that run so you don't have to think about Michael Tonkin coming in with a one run lead. Anthony Volpe, bunt him over instead of striking out. What are we doing? But once that inning is completed, you do have to bring in somebody to protect a one run lead. It's a safe assumption that they're probably not going to, right? One run lead with the automatic runner on second base. That's already kind of like, like the new rules are bad. Like, I hate the rules. I hate them. I don't like them. You know, when the Yankees are losing a road extra innings game, I don't like seeing that ghost runner on because we can't do anything with him and the home team always can.
Yep.
But so once it's a one run lead, I want Hamilton in. Apparently he can't pitch. I want Luke Weaver, one of my favorite erasers of runners and entire innings from the past week or so. He's been more of the Michael King role than Jonathan Loaisiger or anyone else we've tried to throw in the Michael King role since then. I would have liked to have seen him, although iffy coming off all his work in that Oakland game. I get it. I understand. I'd like to see Victor Gonzalez. I don't even need Clay Holmes to come out and pitch a second inning of work after 10 pitches. I do. Yeah, I actually didn't want to see a second inning of Clay Holmes, but Michael Tonkin is the worst option of all of the options you've got in front of you behind a second inning of Clay Holmes for sure, which wasn't even my preferred option, but I would have rather seen a second Clay Holmes inning than Michael Tonkin. And immediately first pitch, wild pitch, immediate game.
No,
time
pass ball. That was on Trevino.
I'm calling that a wild pitch.
Are you? Why?
They've never met each other before. I'm putting the, is there a mutual blame? Is there a thing where I could do like wild pitch slash ball? Is there some sort of like additional stat that means like he's never met this pitcher in his life and has no idea what he throws? I can't believe they brought him in extras, and they're now 3-15 on the road in road extra innings, ghost runner games. And that's endemic that is, you know, that's pitchers being unable to corral the ghost runner, but it's also bad offensive approaches in the top half, not able to add on, score multiple runs. One of those was, of course, the Cleveland game a couple weeks ago where they had it and then they made a bunch of defensive gaffes and then suddenly they didn't. And that was sort of the outlier, though. Most of these games are extra innings on the road. You got the ghost runner. You don't score him. You get immediately walked off because the other team is better at manufacturing runs than you are. And this is one of the Yankee issues that I actually don't think is random. I think it's an epidemic of their inability to handle this, you know, manufacturing runs in tight games. Now, they're lucky that they don't have this rule in playoff games. So it's not going to carry over. You're not going to see this in tight October matchups. But it is important moving forward to think about the reason why you keep losing these road extra innings games and how we could prevent this. It's not all just, hey, we brought in a random guy, or hey, Ian Hamilton was hurt, we had to bring in Michael Tonkin. Often it's, we just couldn't execute in the top half, leaving us susceptible in the bottom half. Our weak underbelly was poked and prodded by sticks. But hit me with your Clay Holmes two innings. I'm going to let you defend that because I get it. But, you know, I was angrier at the other moves that weren't.
Well, I'm not even defending. I mean, I would have opted if the options were Clay Holmes for two innings or Michael Tonkin, which apparently seemed like that was it, because I don't know why nobody else was used. Then I'm going Clay Holmes for two innings because he threw 10 pitches, eight of them were strikes in the ninth. That's not a day of work. That's a bullpen session.
Yeah.
That's what he's throwing on his day off. So you can afford to use him in the next inning. If you really wanted to. Boone's excuse was that he's on pace to pitch 80 innings, which was never a fucking problem before for anybody who's been in the Yankees bullpen over the last few years. They have no problem burning guys out early in the season. So I guess, hey, maybe if they're changing their ways, excellent. But in the early going, everybody right now is susceptible for pitching too much. And secondly, it was just another one of Aaron Boone's attempts to steal fucking outs, and it never works. So stop trying to do it. Michael Tonkin, who just got to the team, is not going to be somebody who's going to steal outs for you. He's not going to help you live to see another day on Saturday and Sunday. He's going to not – I mean, was he bad? I don't think he was bad for being put in that situation for who he is as a player, but, like, he just wasn't going to get the win for you with the track record that you know how bad you are in extra innings. Why are you going to put yourself at risk for losing the game? If you wanted to start, if you use Clay Holmes in that ninth inning in a tie game, then what is your reason for punting it the next inning? You just wasted a fucking Clay Holmes outing. That's my take. So you bring Clay Holmes out for another 10 pitches in the next inning. Worst case scenario, something happens. His pitch count gets a little elevated. Take him out after 18 and then bring somebody else in, or put Tonkin in a better situation. I mean, that wouldn't be a better situation, or I don't know why Victor Gonzalez couldn't come in. I don't know why anybody else couldn't have come in, but that was a wasted Clay Holmes appearance. It was a wasted attempt to steal outs, and it started the weekend on a really wrong. Things could have gotten really bad if that was the way that the Yankees have very much found a way to either not ride the momentum properly or get stuck in the doldrums. This could have been the worst of both worlds if they had not responded the way they did on Saturday. Thankfully, they did. I'm very happy for it. But Friday is worth talking about because it is a symptom of a larger problem that the Yankees still have not addressed in 4 years.
And I think it actually made me angrier in retrospect that they blasted the doors off on Saturday, Sunday, didn't need any of these relievers for tight games.
Yeah, well, that's how it works. Oh, you know, we have to save Clay for Saturday or Sunday, but you might not fucking need him.
But I assume they were going to lose blowout games, and that's why they wouldn't need Clay. And the fact that they won them both, it's like, you got to be kidding me with this. I mean, look at the number. Look, first of all, they use Luis Gil, who struggled in that game, to start the sixth inning, and he immediately gives up a double. That guy scores on productive outs. Here are the relievers who preceded Holmes. Marinaccio threw 15 pitches, and he's actually been good lately.
He's actually been good. Props, Ron.
Dennis Santana throws 12, and we take him out for Caleb Ferguson. Caleb Ferguson throws 14. And then, like you said, Clay Holmes, 10 pitches, 8 strikes.
Every reliever was wasted.
Michael Tonkin, we ride for 26 pitches in 2 extra innings, blows the save, loses the game. And then Michael Tonkin gets to pitch on Sunday, too, because they're up by 15. So good stuff.
And Dennis Santana go to it. Isn't he like the number one guy to go 2 innings? He throws, yep. What'd you say, 12 pitches?
He threw 12 pitches. He got 2 outs, gave up a hit and a strikeout. That's it.
I don't know. I mean, look, I've never managed a bullpen before, folks, so I can't tell you what to do. But if you're looking at a situation where you're scared of getting the higher end guys overworked, to me, it feels like one of those other guys that you brought in has to at least go out for the next inning. If they're in between the 10 to 12 pitch range, again, 10 pitches is not a day of work. Unless you're
I'd also, you want to talk about like power ranking the things that we'd like to punt. Like Yankee fans get angry when they punt anything, but let's say they're like down 6-2 in the eighth inning against a good team and they throw their worst reliever. I'm more fine punting that than I am a game where they have a lead in extra innings.
Yes.
On the road. Mm-hmm. Like all Yankee fans are like, oh my God, they're giving up. They're putting in Michael Tonkin down 7-3 to the Orioles in the eighth. It's like, I mean, yes, that's a little bit annoying, but it's not anywhere close to as annoying as what we saw on Friday night, which somehow this Yankee team, you want to laugh, like these guys are different. Maybe they are different because that's the worst tone you can set on that Friday night. That is awful. That's the worst loss of the year, and it's probably going to hold up as one of the worst losses of the year by the end of the year. And they recover from that with a blowout win, a dominant Carlos Rodon start, and then a game where they blow a 4-0 lead and then come back and score 7 runs in the very next inning. That might be the actual most surprising moment of the series, the fact that they blow that lead. Also, Hudson Valley Renegades, I've been to one game a year, the Hudson Valley Renegades, for the last 4 years. 0-3 entering yesterday, including the game where Garrett Cole blew a 6-0 lead to the Rays
that
in 2023. Sucks. And then they blow that 4-0 lead yesterday. I'm like, this is actually unbelievable. Like, I can't go to this stadium. And then they come back. They buck that trend. That's nuts. Congrats to the New York Yankees. That might be the real most surprising moment. But I'm going to put this one on Anthony Rizzo's shoulders. They move him down in the lineup. We have a piece, spoiler alert, back on the back end. We have a piece pending that we can't run. An article on Yankees Go Yard that we can't run. Because it's like, it's time for Anthony Rizzo to give up this job to Ben Rice. We can't run it because all of a sudden he's got 4 homers in the last week. And he looks like Anthony Rizzo. All you need is, he's not going to be a long-term piece here. He might be a coach before long. They have an option at the end of this season that he'll be 35. I maybe can't imagine them picking it up, especially with Juan Soto to take care of. That said, he had a 75 OPS plus when that article was written midweek last week. Now he's at 126. So early season variance,
what?
No reason to write anybody off, but that is just a monstrous leap. And I'm going to give him credit and say that he surprised the hell out of me because I thought I didn't think he had it anymore. And I don't know how long he has it, but I know it's still in there.
It's still in there. I hope it can last. Apologies for now. There are still concerns about the longevity of all this, but that was a good rebound for Riz. Congratulations. I hope that's a good momentum shifter for him. My most surprising moment, we talked about it already. I can't believe the Judge slide went our way. I was sitting there, I was fully convinced that they were gonna rule Verdugo out. Just because that maybe I'm the jackass. It feels like the umps are never making the call. We're never getting the bounce. At least that's what it feels like. And I could be wrong. Rival fans, please tell me, but I watch a lot of baseball. And the Yankees are one of those teams that will leave pivotal points up to umpiring decisions, whether it's the strike zone, whether it's something on the base paths, whether it's a judgment call. And they're always burned by it. And it's twofold. One, it's the Yankees' fault for constantly being in those positions. And two, it's the umps just being fuckers and clearly hating the Yankees, because I think, as evidenced by Aaron Judge's ejection last week, when he didn't say a word, there is clearly some sort of power trip among the umpires to make an example out of the Yankees. But shocked the Judge slide went our way. Happy that it did. Still think it should, even though in the article I wrote that it could easily have been seen as interference based on how it all went down. I think more so it could have been seen as interference because of Adames' throw was so fucking bad. But otherwise, Judge is a large man, and that's an imposing arm. But props, man. Judgment call, bang, bang. Couldn't review it. We got the bounce. We got a one-run bounce. I'm giving the Brewers, we got one run out of that. We did not get 7. The other 6 are your fault. You suck.
You do suck. I mean, I can't believe that that's the way that the Brewers went out sad in this series. They're a better team than that, I think. They Maybe they're not because they rely.
Just a good team. I feel like every time I watch them, they're playing good defense. They're pitching well. They're not getting hits because that's not their calling card. But everything else is fundamentally sound.
Yeah, I agree. Agreed. I mean, thing you might have missed. We're agreed here. We're handshaking here because we just. How are we going to do this whole series and talk about the offensive dominance? And talk about, you know, the weekend, the wins, the surprising way that things turned out, and not spotlight Carlos Rodon's start on Saturday. Far too many people, even during his early success, have still been down on him, have been citing velo drops, have been acting like you should immediately be able to compare 2024 Rodon and what's working to 2022 Rodon and see a direct correlation. That pitchers can't change, that pitchers can't adapt. Like, oh, wow, the velocity is down 1.2 from 22. This isn't sustainable. Or he's messing with other pitches. He shouldn't be doing that. This isn't sustainable. He found the slider on Saturday. He had the fastball working. He looked like a wet dog. And Ashley Rodon gave me a shout out. So shout out to Ashley, because I noticed that he's now the spokesperson for these jerseys being wet and bad. He was just destroyed. He sweats, and that's fine. We all sweat. A lot of people sweat. But Nike said these were moisture wicking. And I don't know what – am I not up on what wicking means? Is that like slang I don't understand? Because these are actually just moisture crafting, like moisture retaining. I see so much moisture that I never saw before. It's like the Seinfeld episode where they all go after the fat-free yogurt place that clearly has fat. Like, how could it taste as good? It's fat-free. It's not. It actually is fat in this yogurt. Now, Jerry Seinfeld would say you can't make funny jokes about yogurt anymore. Too PC, too woke. But I dare to go that far. I'll say you can actually still make funny jokes about yogurt and jerseys. Rodon, beyond the wetness, was incredible. And I think you want to just reinforce, hey, let's not forget about this.
Why? Because I asked last week. I asked nicely, too. Can we just get the guy good press? He throws 7 scoreless against the A's. It goes to waste. It was the same story with Nestor over the weekend. He goes 7 scoreless against, what was that, the Blue Jays? I don't even know at this point.
Nestor also shut out the Rays, right?
Yeah, the Rays. It was the Rays, yeah, and we lose 2-0. So it's like Rodon, finally, like, what's everyone asking for? They're asking for an efficient outing. They're asking for 7 innings so the bullpen doesn't have the strain on it. He does that, and the Yankees lose the game because they're not competent. They can't hit the ball. This time around, we get the complete reverse effect. The offense is so fucking good that it doesn't even matter who was pitching. Luis Gil could have pitched and given up 8 runs. It wouldn't have mattered. You wouldn't have even thought about Luis Gil having a bad outing. It would have been like, wow, the offense is back. Haven't seen 15 runs in an eternity. That's pretty good. Carlos Rodon, though, 3 quality starts in his last 4, with the only outlier being that one in Toronto, which I'll still back him for because they fouled off 27 fucking pitches.
Well, yeah, they're cheating. They're cheating at the Rogers Center.
They fouled off 27 pitches. He was only able to last 4 innings because he threw over 100 pitches. Look, are there still concerns here? Sure. I'm not concerned about the velo because it seems like he's got a healthy pitch mix and the fastball still has life to it and he's locating it pretty good. So I'm not going to split hairs there. The efficiency of strike throwing could be better. He's at 62% for the year. I think we could throw, we can get that up a little bit. He threw 53 strikes on 93 pitches, against the Brewers. But he struck out 8 batters. And again, look, this series was great. I'm not taking anything away from anybody. The Brewers are very bad offensively though, and they don't have a great pitching staff. So this is something the Yankees should have done. They should have handled their business, and it should have been relatively painless, but it's just not the way it works in Major League Baseball. I'm taking everything with a grain of salt in the most positive way. I love the trends that we're seeing. I think we also have to understand that the Brewers probably are not a playoff team. The Yankees should have been scoring, double-digit runs against somebody like the A's, and they didn't. But nonetheless, it's early in the season. The bounce back energy is there in kind of all of these departments. And I'm not overlooking a good start from a pitcher who needs to rebound this year. I'm not overlooking a 30 run weekend from an offense that was anemic and continues to be anemic in these stretches where we can't afford to have it. So it happened. We're happy. Press for Carlos Rodon should have been better press.
this is the first time since the Guardian series where I've been like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's not how I expected that to go.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I mean, they won the Rays series. They won that miracle game in Toronto, but this is definitely the first
Rays time. Rays are apparently the worst team ever.
Yeah. The A is not a major league team, even though they beat the Orioles and no one's talking about it. This is definitely the first time since that Guardian series where I've been like, oh, that's not what I remember from 2020 through 2023. Like, that's a little bit different than that worked out. Not how I, that's very cool. Speaking of the guys from the team in 2021,
the two, guys.
Three, the Padres end of the Juan Soto trade. I mean,
just to think, and look, this could turn around. This can always turn around, but just to think, anybody complained? So we didn't complain about this, but we did sit here and we were like, ah, oh, the pitching depth, man, that's going to be a problem.
And I was surprised that Brian Cashman was like, I will not trade Michael King and Randy Vasquez and Drew Thorpe for Juan Soto. I'm holding firm. Take one of these pitchers out of the deal. And the Padres were like, no. And Brian Cashman was like, fine, I will do what you asked me to do. And so we were just kind of like, I can't believe that he was so hard line against doing it. And then immediately relented like 3 days later when he realized that it probably wasn't enough. Anyway, the package that they were asking for, Juan Soto is generational. Like he says, there's no amount of high ceiling, but untapped potential pitchers that can match Juan Soto. The Yankees probably had to throw in three more to make it fair, but that's not how trades work. And so they didn't. And so we were sitting there being like, I'm surprised that Brian Cashman had to give up everything that San Diego asked for and wasn't able to switch any players in and out and figure it out. That's what we were concerned about, I think. But it has a lot of pitching depth. Yeah, we raised that flag.
Yeah, that was the only flag. But otherwise, like, maybe that was a negotiating tactic by Cashman to make it seem like the Yankees were valuing either Vasquez or King a lot more than they actually were. Because what do the stats say? Michael King got rocked again yesterday. He now has a 5 ERA with a 6.32 FIP and a 1.47 whip in 7 games, 6 starts. He leads the NL in home runs allowed with 10, and he has walked 21 batters. That also leads the NL. Who else? We got Randy Vasquez, who started the year in AAA because he had a really bad spring training, came back up, made 2 starts. He has allowed 5 earned runs in 7 2/3 innings in those 2 outings, 11 hits. 3 walks, only 5 strikeouts, good for a 6.83 FIP, 1.83 whip. That's not good. Kyle Higashioka is a backup catcher. He is batting under 200 and is doing exactly what you would expect him to do. Minimal offense and solid defense behind the plate, but he's only played in 8 games. Then you have Wandy Peralta, who was actually pretty good to start the year, but the peripheral metrics, like we were kind of worried about for signing him longer than 1 year, still are showing bad results. Entirely blue baseball savant page. And then the last 2 or 3 games, he's gotten shelled. Blew that last game in Colorado for them, gave up 4 runs in less than an inning of work, and put the guy who came in behind him in a bad position, who eventually gave up the game-losing hit. And the best performer out of all of them, Johnny Brito, 10 games of relief, 4.40 ERA, 3.88 FIP, 1.40 whip. He has 6 strikeouts in 14 1/3 innings. He's allowed 17 hits. I can't believe we even thought that that was too much. Not we, but like collectively, some people were sitting there and they were like, you can't possibly trade Michael King. How could you do that?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? How can I do it? He's going into his age 29 season and he's got 2 years of control left and he has 19 career starts. You're viewing Michael King as an integral piece with 19 starts under his belt. Are you crazy? That's what's going to hold up a Juan Soto trade, even if it's for a year. Again, all the people saying, oh, it's only for a year. Guess what? Juan Soto's changed the entire complexion of the offense. It's just what's happened.
Doink. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't interested. Michael King's elbow worried me when he was a Yankee. And as soon as he wasn't a Yankee anymore, I was like, all righty then. The talk of an extension was a little bit premature. Let's see how it goes. I mean, again, if this were any other franchise other than the New York Yankees, you'd be crediting them for using a great month of Michael King in the rotation at the end of a lost season and using that to get Juan Soto.
Yep.
Making Michael King the centerpiece. Yeah. But since it's not the Yankees, you're going to question the amount of depth that they lost. The Yankees still have Will Warren hanging out in the minors, ready to go. Still got Cody Poteet. Spun a pretty great start. Things haven't been quite the same with the routine since they sent Cody Poteet down. I miss him. Bring him back.
Yeah, where is he? Bring him back.
Bring him back. That guy was cool. I mean, at some point, they're going to limit Luis Gil's innings at some point, you would think. And then maybe Cody Poteet comes into effect there. Gerrit Cole, theoretically, would love to see him. That would be great. Cody Poteet, the truth. I think the Yankees have the bullpen hasn't exactly printed guys.
No.
You end up with Michael Tonkins of the world. You end up with Cody Morris, cameoing and never appearing. Folks, I don't know. But the one thing I can say with a pretty solid degree of certainty is that I would rather have Juan Soto than the package they surrendered. That's as far as I'll go. This is not a judgment on Michael King long term.
Nope.
This is not a judgment on anybody else. Johnny Brito, I'm not saying I'm writing him off forever. I'm just saying give me the roster with Juan Soto. Give me the roster with Juan Soto. Yeah. Give me the roster with Juan Soto against the Baltimore Orioles, who could be in a better spot right now. They could. I still am not terribly confident in the Yankees, especially without Verdugo on the paternity list, running roughshod over Baltimore. I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to give themselves a shot. This should be an interesting series. I would be happy with a split. I would be very satisfied with a split. You're just trying to erase games off the schedule right now. You're 19-10. You're in a good spot. If this four game road series with Baltimore is not how I want to be introduced to the Orioles rivalry this year, if I had my druthers, it's like when it always felt like their first series against the Red Sox was four games at Fenway. Four games in Baltimore, not my cup of tea, not my choice. But hey, I'd be down for a split. I'm definitely not going to make any grand proclamations at the end of this episode like the Joey Ortiz thing, which then immediately happened. I'm also not going to be like, last episode, I was like, hey, give them some love. They're 17-8. Too much negativity. And then they went out and had, again, the worst game of the year, followed by an even worse game. So I'm definitely not going to be like, respect my boys, only for them to show up and do absolute garbage, just tap dancing on my personal grave. But I would be more than happy with a split, just a representative effort. And if you're going to lose, blowout is fine. If you want to save that bullpen, you're going to lose one of these games probably in a pretty extensive blowout. Baltimore is too good. Baltimore, if you're going to lose, you're probably not going to just lose tight ones. There's probably a blowout-ish game in here, and that's ultimately fine. Fans are going to have to realize that.
Luis Gil, Corbin Burns, perhaps? Sure.
That doesn't feel great. That definitely does not feel great.
No. I'm not going to be a hater, but I'm glad Stroman's not facing this lineup. I think he needs a couple more starts under his belt before he faces a lineup like this. He's dancing around way too many inferior hitters, and there aren't any hitters right now to dance around in the Orioles lineup. If you ask me, even the guys who are quote underperforming, like Cedric Mullins batting .222, but he's bringing the power. He's got six bombs. Anthony Santander batting .218. He's slugging .436. So these guys are hitting the ball when they need to, and they're getting extra base hits fairly often. What about the Orioles series? What do I think about this? I think their pitching sucks, and Grayson Rodriguez is bad. Dean Kramer is bad. Corbin Burns is good. They don't have a starter for Thursday right now. Split is probably the way to go. The Orioles offense is wildly impressive. Based on the way Clark Schmidt's been pitching, they are absolutely going to get to him the third time through the order without fucking question. Unless Aaron Boone has a plan here. Let's get Clark through four or five before he has to face the third. Let's bring in Luke Weaver for two or three. Maybe that's the way to neutralize it. I don't know. Again, never managed a bullpen before, but I'll try. I'm scared of Gunnar Henderson. He's the best fucking player I've ever seen, I think. Right. It's crazy what he's been doing. And I just looked online because, I saw, Jordan Westberg is hitting .304 with a .903 OPS plus. Mm-hmm. My Topps 2024 gold foil is selling for $20+.
Mm-hmm.
Come at me. I'm going to sell that. This offense is good. So, I'm upset that I guess maybe we're not going to be able to face Craig Kimbrell, because that is a blown save waiting to happen, even for a team as incompetent as the Yankees in the later innings. But Orioles doing their job, hitting the ball well. They're getting quality outings from guys who are supporting their starting pitchers. In theory, though, this Orioles team still has a lot to prove to me if I'm going to be scared of them. And that's not an insult. It's just they haven't been along for very long. They have proven nothing in the postseason yet. They did nothing this offseason to really supplement the roster in a way that would make me scared. So they're going to have to actively scare me this week.
Yeah, and they just might. We'll see. I do think I'm glad that the Yankees are coming in on a bit of a heater because they're going to have to put up runs to compete in this series.
They are, absolutely.
You think that we're being annoying talking about the Orioles? Just wait until we got to face the Red Sox and their league-leading ERA. League-leading ERA with all these jokers. Are we kidding? I think we're kidding. 16-13 with an 18-11 Pythagorean record without any of their best players. I hate that franchise. If the Red Sox roster was in Toronto Blue Jays jerseys, they'd be 8-21. So just get ready for when we have to face it. It's unbelievable. I just don't understand how Red Sox fans don't wake up thanking their lucky stars every fucking day that they root for that franchise. I don't get it. All they do is luck out. And they suffer devastating injuries and no consequences. But then all those fans are still like, oh, there's nothing harder than being a Red Sox fan. Unbelievable.
Mark Crawford had the best ERA in the league heading into Saturday or Friday. Yeah.
Tanner Houck is going to win the Cy Young this year. I mean,
He actually might.
There's nothing harder than being a Red Sox fan. You compete all the time, no matter what. If I could choose to be a fan of a team, it would be the Red Sox based on recent 20 years of history, titles, ability to rebuild and reload, farm system, and the fact that nothing on the surface seems to matter because there's always magic at your home stadium. Dansby Swanson, Gold Glove shortstop, doesn't know how to track a pop-up. Yesterday, the Red Sox walk off the Mike Tauchman game because the best defensive player on the other team goes, I do not see this baseball, and I'm going to make a wild flail at it and ruin the baseball game for my team, the Chicago Cubs. It's unbelievable. The Red Sox are a third-place team right now for whatever reason. They're better than the Rays. They're better than the Jays. I actually think they're going to finish the season ahead of Toronto. Maybe not the Rays, but definitely the Jays, who are – woof, arf, smells bad up there in Toronto, John Schneider. Spooky.
Toronto sucks, dude.
I think Toronto sucks.
I think Toronto sucks.
And again, I hope when the Blue Jays and Red Sox play each other, I root for the Blue Jays. Toronto fans getting humbled, kind of fun. Not unfun. Get humbled, boys. Get humbled. And it's all boys.
It's all little boys.
Every vocal Toronto fan is a little boy, not a man. Hey, we'll see everybody back here on Thursday. See what the Yankees can do in the first three games. We'll be live during the fourth game
as of now.
So please join us. 2:00 Eastern every Monday, every Thursday on all podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify. Yeah, I love Boston. I think the city of Boston is beautiful. I cannot believe how angry Boston fans are all the time. The Knicks and Rangers are on playoff runs. The Knicks are doing things I have never seen a Knicks team do before. Amazing. In 30 years. And you know what Boston fans call that? April. Because the Celtics do that every fucking year. And those people are still like, oh, no city worse than Boston. The heartbreak knows no bounds. I'm Adam Weiner. You can find me on Twitter at Adam Weiner. Thomas Carinante. Where on earth? Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter. It's still Twitter. You type in Twitter.com. It's still Twitter.com.
It still works. Why?
It's not X. Until they change it to X, I'm calling it Twitter. And I am at Tommy's_takes. We are both at the official Yanks Go Yard Twitter account at Yanks Go Yard FS. Head on over to YanksGoYard.com. Plenty of content there. We're having a great time. Thank you guys for reading. Numbers are up. We're having a good time getting all the information out to you as quickly as possible, putting our spin on everything Yankees. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. We appreciate it. Yankees O's. So have a good time. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you Thursday live during the series finale. You guys are the best. We'll see you later.
It's true. YanksGoYard.biz, Twister.gov is where you can find us. Yes, it's still Twitter to me. We'll never be X. But join us on YanksGoYard.com and join us here on YouTube or on all podcast platforms. We will see everybody or talk to you, not see you, just vocalize in your direction on Thursday. Take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.